It's important never to assume that you know what I'm going to say or what the Spirit of God is going to say. Because when you assume, you lose out. You think I'm going this way and I'm going that way. And if there is a message that I want you not to assume anything, that you know what I'm going to say, this one, you definitely don't want to presume anything. Because, you see, the Word of God has levels. And many times when I'm sharing with you, I share level one or level two, but sometimes I go level three and level four. That's when you can be lost in the boonies. So what did he say? And today I'm going to take you through level one through maybe even up to level four. Because today I want you to see something that is going to impact your life and impact my life and impact our church and bring us to a place where nothing the enemy thinks he can do can stop God's divine purpose. Amen? Say, I am unstoppable. The agenda of the enemy is to resist God's purpose. But there's something about God that causes him and all that belong to him to go against this stream. That is what confuses the devil every time. Because God does not act the way you think. And anyone who is a child of God becomes very counter-culture, counter the system. Because God contradicts everything that the enemy intends to do. That's why he's a God of miracles. Amen? That's exactly why he's a God of miracles. Many years ago, and I start this message whenever I'm reading from this passage, I always remember this experience. I was in the city of Medicine Hat, Alberta. And sometime around 3 a.m., between 3 and 5, the Lord awakened me, and he said, I want you to read through this passage. I want to teach you something about leadership, he said. Now, when I've preached on this message, I've talked a lot about leadership and so on and so forth. That's why I forewarned you, don't assume anything because you have no clue. So I read through this passage of scripture. It happens to be Luke chapter 5. And I read through it from the beginning to the end. And I said, Lord, I don't see anything here about leadership. He said, read it again. So I read it the second time. I saw nothing. I said, there's nothing here about leadership. He said, read it again. So I read it the third time. I couldn't see a thing. Not a thing. Lord, I don't see anything about leadership. He said, do you want to know? I said, yeah. I want to know, and I want to see. So he says, okay, now, read it again. So I read. And as soon as I said reading, everything in the chapter was on leadership. I've been reading the thing and saw nothing about leadership. And here God says, okay, let me teach you. And now the page opens up and I'm reading. And all I could see from this particular passage was leadership, 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 leadership. I said, oh my God. You can read the Bible and see nothing. You can read and experience nothing. But when God comes, the words of God, spiritually discerned, become alive. Let me read you something before I go to Luke chapter 5. Take me to Galatians chapter 2. Galatians chapter 2. I want you to see a phrase. Put it up for me. Galatians chapter 2. It starts out this way. Then 14 years after I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas and took Titus with me also. And I went up by what? I went up by revelation. It is revelation that takes you up. Amen? When you get revelation, it takes you to another dimension. And today, I believe God is going to take us on a flight into another dimension. Many years ago, I was in the city of Warri, and we just had some meetings. And came back to the hotel room. Mama was in bed already. And I came in. And as soon as I came into the room, it was like I was being pierced by millions of pins all over my body. All over my body, from my head to my toe. I was in serious pain. It was like somebody poking me all over my body. I didn't know what to do. I'm looking for help. And then the Lord said to me, don't you know you're seated in heavenly places? And as soon as I remembered I'm seated in heavenly places, I was out of reach of the attack. All the pain ceased. The difference was not in me binding, pleading the blood, but my position. I was elevated to another dimension, and at that dimension, nobody could touch me. All of the activity of witchcraft that was coming against me ceased immediately. It was not that the attack wasn't still there. It was now that I was above. Amen? Revelation shifts you. Say somebody say, I am being shifted right now in Jesus' mighty name. There is a shift that must take place in our lives to bring us into a dimension where the enemy cannot operate in. Hallelujah. The word of God says in Luke chapter 5, and it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him, pressed upon him to hear the word of God. The Lord said to me that wonderful day, when you have the word of God as a leader, people are going to press to hear you. He says, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships. I'm not talking about leadership today, but now and then I'm going to make a hint. There's somewhere I'm going. He said, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships. Amen? He saw two ships. He was aware of his environment. And leaders do that. He saw two ships standing by the lake. But the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. The fishermen were gone and they were busy washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down. Let me digress again just a little. He went into a ship which belonged to Simon. This is Simon who's going to be Simon Peter. And he asked him that he would thrust a little from the land. What is he trying to do? You see, when the people were pressing against him, and he's standing there, only a few people could hear him. Now that he gets into the boat, because he identified the tool that he needed, and that's something that God will grace us all as leaders to have, the grace to be able to identify our environment and to identify the tools necessary to help us accomplish what we want done. The people needed the word. Now he steps into this boat, and the boat he steps into, he stepped into because, you see, sometimes it's better, don't do this all the time, but sometimes it is needful to do what you want to do and ask for an excuse later. He stepped into Simon's boat. And then he asked Simon, who is busy washing, because you see, Simon has to protect his boat. So Simon now had to come to him. And he says, move me out a little bit. So Simon did that. Now, this Simon had been introduced to him before. You see, in this passage, in Luke chapter 5, we are going to hear Jesus say, I'm going to make you fishers of men, and Peter follows him. And you can easily assume that this is the first time they met. But no, this is not the first time they met. They've met many times before. And many times before, they've been chatting. And many times before, he had an opportunity to join with Jesus, but hadn't done it. But Jesus knew who he was and who he was going to be in his team. And so he did not quit. You see, when you identify as a leader, a vessel that God wants to use, it doesn't matter how hard and how difficult they are right now, stay persistent. Amen? Stay true until you get them. Praise the Lord. Please turn off all of your cell phones. Really appreciate that. So, this is a Simon. He's been introduced to Jesus before by his brother. And here he is. And he says to him, as he sat down, he began to teach the people out of the ship. Now, when he had left speaking, when he'd finished speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep, verse 4, and let down your nets. Somebody say nets. Yes. Say it again, nets. Yes. One more time, nets. Yes. Let down your nets for a draught. Let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we've toiled all the night. Somebody say, all the night. Now there's a word there that is there but isn't necessary at all in that sentence. Do you know what word that is? We have toiled all the night. What word is not necessary in that sentence? We have traveled all the night. We can take the V out of there, and we have toiled all night. Are you with me? So why is the V there? It is not because God is looking for words. No. He's saying something about the night. And the night could be a lifetime for you, for me. The night. The night is that marked time that precedes your day experience. The night. All night is all night, but all the night means that this is a special night. It's the night of decisions. And on this the night, he says, we took nothing. I'm a fisherman. I fished all night, all the night, and caught nothing. But he says something. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the what? What did Jesus say? What did he say he was going to do? He was going to drop a net. Now that spells trouble. Because you see, based on his the night experience, he was not able to make the shift to all the truth of the word that the Lord gave to him. The word the Lord gave to him was, let down your nets. That means many nets for a drought. You're going to have a big haul of fish. And the man says, right. But I know that you, okay. I will let down the net. At your word. Limiting God, hear this. Limiting God does not stop God from fulfilling what he said. What God said, God meant when he said it. And God will fulfill his part of the word. Now, the question is, when he does what he said he's going to do, will you be able to handle it? Will I be able to handle it? God says, let down nets. The man takes a net and he says, I am obeying. Okay. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net broke. There was enough fish in that one catch to fill his boat and to fill every boat in there. The extension of the miracle of God was not only going to impact this man, but impact his community. Are you with me? What God wants to do with you and me is not just to impact our lives as individuals, but to impact our community. Amen. Is somebody listening? God has a bigger agenda. So what did God do? The Bible tells us in Genesis that God brought fish out of water. And when Jesus said to Peter, cast that net, he did a miracle like he did at the very start. I don't think for one moment that all the fishes in the Galilee rushed down there. No, what I believe he did was just what he did before when he turned water into wine. He did another miracle. He turned water into fish. Are you with me? Too much for you? If you think that's too much, I'm going to take you somewhere that is going to freak you. Because God is God. He is not a man, and he's not limited to the methods of man. What God will do for me and do for you is beyond your calculative mindset. So, child of God, let's do one thing today. Let's get our minds off of our own understanding and tap into the mind of God who makes something out of nothing. Hallelujah. He will make something out of nothing. Let me say it again. He will take your little and bring about much. God is a multiplier. Hallelujah. I said God is a multiplier. Amen. Let me say it again. God is a multiplier. He turned water into fish. And when they had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fish. What is this? Now, just come along with me so you understand even more. He says, and they beckoned unto their partners. Now, that's an interesting word there. They beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship. They beckoned unto their partners. The word here is the word metukos. It's a word that describes a partnership of people that come alongside of you for their own gain, but they are not truly committed totally to you. Okay? That's metukos. They are there. As long as things are good, they are there. They'll celebrate with you. But when things are not that good, adios. See you later. Okay? That's metukos. Now, there were metukos in the other ship. But we're going to find out soon that there was more than metukos in the other ship, because there's another word for partners used in the passage. And that word is the word koinonia. And here we are going to see the difference. It says, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began. Not one boat, but two boats began to sink. Why are they sinking? They are sinking because there's all this fish. But notice, the Bible says that the net was breaking. So two ships are now sinking from a catch from a broken net. Is somebody listening? There's a problem with the equipment, but there's still more than enough. Now, that is God. And God is declaring over you and over me and over this work this day that he can do more than we ever think. Hallelujah. He can do extraordinary things if we will not limit him. And actually, go ahead. God says, go ahead, do all the limitation that you want to do. I am still going to do what I said I'm going to do, because I said I am going to do it. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You're not there yet. There is a time in God where you don't count in the equation anymore. Because he's going to do what he's going to do. And on this 8th day of September 2019, the year of supernatural fruitfulness and birthing, I declare over you, over me, over this household of faith, that we cannot limit God. God will show himself true to his word. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want to cooperate with him. Because if you don't bring the net, the fish will come. But it will not be in your boat. So you got to cast the net. Whichever way God wants you to cast the net, cast that net. Amen? But not just a net. He said nets. That means every opportunity, every tool available to you, use it. Hallelujah. If the tool available to you is passing out tracts, use it. If the tool available to you is ministry on television or the internet or social media, use whatever tools are available to you. And God is saying, I will bring the fish. Okay. The boats began to sink. Too much. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' feet. No, feet. Knees? You know what that means? That the fish is all the way to the knee. And so when he knelt, he was at Jesus' knee. Do you understand what we're talking about here? God is God. Someone say, God is God. God is God. Fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, depart from me. Wow. He says, leave me. Go. Why? I am a sinful man, O Lord. That reminds me of a miracle that the Lord did in this house. There was a sister who had a son, her only son, and the son had died, brain dead, because he had taken ecstasy and blew his brains and was left for dead. And the doctors wanted to harvest his organs and so on and so forth. But we stood in this house on the word of the Lord. And we, by the authority of the word of God, saw that young man restored back. Amen. Came back to life, was restored. The doctors were saying to me when we met them, they said, don't pray that this child live because he's going to be a vegetable. They don't pray for that. But God did not listen to him, and we didn't listen to him. Hallelujah. But guess what? The mother had given up because she testified of it right in this house that she had given up and already decided to give them the right to harvest his organs. But God was ahead of the game. Hallelujah. Because while she was flaring and losing heart and giving up, we'd already gone ahead and told the young man, open your eyes. Open your eyes. And within 24 hours, still brain dead. Kid opens his eyes. Poof. The nurses that were there that saw this happen took off. Scared witless. What happened here? How is it? But within 2 weeks, that child was restored, mobilized, and he's in this our city. Amen? walking around, moving around, living his life. Now, why did the Lord tell me to tell this story? He told me to tell this story for two reasons. One, that there was no way even her unbelief at that point was going to stop what God said he was going to do. One. Number two, this statement of Peter, he fell down on Jesus and he's saying, depart from me. After, you think that particular sister will be here in this church right now and I'll be able to point to her. But thank God there are people here that knew her, saw her, walked with her, shook hands with her, and celebrated with her the restoration. I think it was within 3 weeks, she decided, this church, the church that can raise the dead, I'm not going to that church anymore. How does that make any sense? This is too much. What is this? I better leave here. She walked out. Lord, what are you doing to me today? Okay. All right. So, sorry about that. Private discussion. I remember a dear sister. Heavyweight. Heavy set. And I go to her and I say, the Lord said, you have all this weight because you're trying to run away from this kind of a problem. I'm not going to give the details. And that you don't need to do that. I said, is this true? She said, absolutely yes. Now, know what happened? If this guy knows so much about me, I better take off. Because what else does he know? And I've seen that happen so many times in ministry. And that's why sometimes I keep my mouth shut, not to scare people. Say, what does he know? I know a lot. Let me just tell you that. But it's fine. It's okay. Because God knows a lot about you. Amen? And God knows a lot about me. Yes. Hallelujah. And he loves us in spite of us. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now Peter says, I'm a sinful man. Please go. Leave me. And that is a natural response. Because we want to have control of some sort. But as long as you have control over your life, as much as you want it, you're going to stay in the night fishing all the night and catching nothing. For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of the fishes which they had taken. And so was James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And that's the other word. Koinonia. And Jesus said unto Simon, fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. This was the instruction of the Lord. He said, don't be afraid. From now on, you won't catch men, not just fishes. You see how it happened here? You've been fishing all night and catching nothing. I'm going to do the same thing for you. After you fish all night, you are going to catch the multitude. And so on the day of Pentecost, the man who is scared witless, the man who has said, let's go back fishing, is now preaching the word of God. And thousands come. Are you with me? Thousands get saved. Same man. Same man. Same man. And everything changes. Why? Because it's no longer an operation of you fishing all the night. It is now an operation of God's timing, and God's timing is you've allowed me to use your boat. Now let me reward you for time spent. Amen? The rewarder is about to reward us in Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. Says, and when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook what? They what? They forsook all and followed them. One moment the guy is saying, Jesus, depart from me. Next moment he says, I'm going with you. I'm going with you. This is the confusion that takes place. You see, because in the flesh, you want to run away. But by the drawing of the Spirit, you want to follow all the way. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let the grace of God come upon every one of us so that the decisions we made in the past to run away cease us, and now we turn around and forget about everything and follow Him. Actually, this is the dimension that every one of us must appreciate and receive. That you move past the blessing to following the blesser. Amen? Amen? Move past the blessing to following the blesser. Third time. Move past the blessing to follow the blesser. You see, so many people just want, God bless me, God bless me, God heal me, God heal me, God give me a husband, God give me a wife, God give me $1 million, God give me this, God. And when God has given it to you, you think that's the end of it. But God had a greater purpose for him. Since you're not going to just catch fish now. You won't catch men. Amen? Now, this is the God of miracles. Turned a life. And now I want to take you to Mark chapter 6. The Gospel of Mark chapter 6. And I want to talk to you some more about the God who doesn't function the way you think. The Lord Jesus Christ had sent his disciples out. They'd gone out, they ministered, and they came back. And when they came back, he sees that they are tired. He sees that they are tired, that they're overwhelmed. And he says to them, and he went out from thence and came into his own country. Mark 6:31. And he said unto them, come ye yourselves apart into a desert place. Come ye apart into a desert place. The word desert is the word eremos, and what it means is an isolated place, a secluded place, but it definitely means a desert wilderness. Amen? A wilderness. And rest a while. Now, how does that make any sense? You want to rest, and now you're going to go to a desert place? It says, for there were many coming and going, and they had no leisure as much as to eat. They have been pressed by people. People keep on coming and coming and coming and coming. And Jesus says, let's go to a desert place, somewhere nobody is, a wilderness. And they departed into a desert place by ship privately. They live privately. They live privately. Somebody say privately. That means they are sneaking away. Are you with me? However, the Bible says, and the people saw them departing. They saw them. They saw them departing. And many knew him, and ran afoot thither out of all cities, and outwent them, and came together unto him. In other words, now, slow down a moment. He's living privately, and people are outrunning, they are going through land around this lake, and they are showing up where Jesus is going to be. Jesus did not tell them. Oh, you're not hearing me yet. Jesus did not tell them where he was going. The Bible says privately. He did not tell them. But when God wants to do something extraordinary, he even causes discernment to happen in the hearts of men and women, because the Bible says they knew him. People are going to know you, and they are going to know me, and they are going to know Glory and Peace Church, and it doesn't matter how hard we try to make it, they will find us.
Amen.
Are you saying, and out went them? Out went them. They did more than Jesus was trying to do. And they came together unto him. And Jesus, when he came out, so much people. When he came out, he saw much people. When he came out, he saw much people. When he came out, he saw much people. And was moved with compassion toward them, because they were as sheep not having a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. It looks like when the Father wants to do something, it doesn't matter what anybody else thinks. Father is going to do what he wants to do. And while Jesus is saying, let's sneak out, let's go rest, Father is saying, yeah, right, rest. I'm going to move them. I'm going to move them to where you are going. God, the Father's agenda trumped anything that Jesus was trying to do. Oh, you're not hearing me yet. Are you hearing? God, if the Father did it with Jesus, guess what he's going to do for you? He is going to go by his agenda, and you are going to be surprised. The Bible says when Jesus came out, he saw multitudes. He was trying to run away from the multitudes. Father saying, you're not running anywhere. You were sent here to do some work, and you are going to accomplish every purpose I have for you. I say in the name of Jesus that the purposes of God for your life will happen. It will happen. Not you, not anybody can stop it. This is unstoppable. Somebody say, this is unstoppable. The grace of God on my life, I cannot even stop it. Hallelujah. 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 Is somebody listening yet?
Yeah.
we're coming. And so he did what he was supposed to do. He began to teach them. And when the day was now fast spent, his disciples came unto him and said, this is a what? This is a desert place. And now the time is far past. This is a desert place. This is a wilderness. The time is past. Oh, nothing's going to happen here. Send the people away, because we can't help them anymore. You've been giving them spiritual food. They're well fed, but they're going to be hungry. Send them away that they may go into the country round about and into the villages and buy themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat. This is leadership. Leadership identifies the situation. Yeah? So they were practicing some kind of leadership. And now they're going to come tell Jesus what a leader should do. But there is a leadership level in God that supersedes natural leadership. Somebody listening? There's a leadership that supersedes natural leadership. And it doesn't matter how many leadership books you read. That leadership of leadership books and magazines and whatever else is not going to operate in this level that God is taking us to. Because this dimension is a dimension of the supernatural. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. They have nothing to eat. And Jesus, you're busy preaching to them. Come on, let them go. Let them go get something to eat. In essence, Jesus, you don't care about the people. If you really cared about the people, you will not just give them the spiritual food that you're teaching them. You're going to take care of their natural bodies. You don't have it. And he answered and said unto them, give ye them to eat. We just told you there's no food. And Jesus says, give them to eat. Huh? And they said unto him, shall we go and buy 200 penny worth of bread and give them to eat? You want us to go to the villages now and go buy the food and bring it back here? He says unto them, how many loaves have you? How many loaves do you have? Go and see. Go check out. Find out how many loaves of you have. And when they knew, they said five. We saw five and two fishes. Jesus asked them to go look for what? For bread. They came back and said what? We've got bread and fish. You see, because when God... when God sends you out, he wants you to be aware of everything that you know is needed to solve the problem. And what they could find was not just the bread, they found fish. So they came back and told him, five, two fishes. Are you ready yet? Okay. Watch the Lord move now. Verse 39, watch this. Where were they? They were in a desert place. Yeah? A wilderness. Nothing grows here. And he commanded them to make all sit down by what? Companies upon the what? Green grass. In a desert? What is God doing? God is doing what God does. Exceedingly far above anything that you dare ask or think. Hallelujah. He's been telling us it's a desert. And now he says, sit them down on the green grass. That is God. Now, are you ready for this? You see, because it's a miracle happening here that is mind-boggling, but while it is happening, people are more focused on their belly. Chloros cotus, green grass. Green grass. The word cotus that is stated there as grass. That word, kotos, represents a place where grass grows for the grazing of animals. It's a desert. And while they are there, grass is growing. Is somebody listening yet? Grass is growing. I declare over this city that the grass of God will grow in this wilderness. Hallelujah. Jesus said, sit them down in 50s and in 100s. What is that? 50 represents Pentecost. It represents Jubilee. So therefore, 100 represents double anointing, double Pentecost, double liberty, double freedom, double blessings. God wants to do the extraordinary for every one of us here today. In the mighty name of Jesus, on this 8th day of September 2019, may God cause the grass of glory to rest around every area, every dry, deserted wilderness in your life, so that God's goodness may be revealed in you and through you, in your health, in your finances, in your marriage, in your family, in everything that you do. In the mighty name of Jesus, miracles in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God wants to do far beyond anything you and I thought possible. Say, I'm living in a wilderness. And God says, not when I want to feed you. I'm going to turn this wilderness around. And it's going to be green. Hallelujah. Lord, I fished all night and caught nothing. Not when I'm in your boat. Because at my word, water molecules are going to become fish. I'm not going to do it the way you thought. I'm going to do what I want to do. And it will all be miraculous. Amen. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, I'm looking forward to the special meetings. Because the Lord gave me a word months ago about the year that we're stepping into. And child of God, I'm believing God to do everything He said He's going to do. Because His grace is sufficient. Hallelujah. 5 loaves, 2 fishes. But there was another miracle that day. He turned a wilderness, a desert land, to plush grass, enough for grazing. Are you with me? He turned a desert land plush in the twinkling of an eye. He just did it. Poof! There it was. There it was. And so shall it be for me, for you, for us. For this church, for this ministry, all of a sudden, where did all this grass come from? Hallelujah. Where did all this fish come from? Hallelujah. And guess what? 5 loaves and 2 fishes fed 5,000 hungry men, not counting the women and the children. And they left with 12 baskets. How do you eat 5 loaves and 2 fishes? Now we're not talking about the big loaves that you go to Safeway to buy here. We're talking about small, dingy little pita bread, not bigger than my palm. I can finish all 5 loaves and 2 fishes by myself. And ask for more. Is there any more? 5,000 hungry men, not counting the women and the children. And you know, in any gathering, any religious gathering, just look at this service right here, right now. You can count the men and the women in here right now. And not twice as much, 3 times as much, 4 times as much, 5 times as much, maybe even 10 times as much. Right here, right now. So we're talking about 20,000 plus people. Are you with me? And he still collected 12 baskets. Because you see, God is not a waster. God does not waste. What he does for us will affect our communities. In Jesus' mighty name. I say, what he does for us will affect our communities. I said, what he's done for us will affect our nation, our continent, our world, in Jesus' mighty name. If you receive that, say amen. I say, if you receive that, say amen. Say, there's green grass growing all around me, and I'm not only spiritually fed, I am fed naturally. All of my needs are met. Every need in my life has been addressed. And my community is impacted by the goodness of God. God, my God, is more than enough. Amen. Amen. Give a good clap offering unto the Lord. Hallelujah. 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 God is good. Amen. Bow your heads with me. There's a song that we sing in Nigeria. Goes something like this. Me, I no go suffer. I no go beg for bread. Me, I no go suffer. I no go beg for bread. Give me your own key. Give me your key so that they can see. Miracles, now my power, God of 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 miracles verse in case you don't know what you're singing. He says, I am not going to suffer. I will not beg for bread. God of miracles is my father, my papa. Amen? You get it? So let's sing it two more times. And as we sing it, receive it. I will never suffer. I will never beg for bread. Because I serve a God who can turn water into wine, water into fish, water into bread, water to anything. Listen, child of God. When God is operating in your life, all kinds of things can happen. We are going to take the limits off of God. Amen? Amen? But we have stepped into a dimension. Let me tell you, and this is a dangerous dimension. It's a dimension where the blessing of God is going to flow, whether you believe it or don't believe it. Now, the great miracle now is going to be this, that you choose not the blessing, but the blesser. Because before Jesus comes, there's going to be a restoration. Amen? Everything God wants to do, He's going to pour it out profusely. It's going to be poured out. The Spirit of God is going to cover the whole earth. But you are going to have to choose God. Like never before, things are going to be plentiful, more than enough. But are you going to choose God? Choose Him now. Me, I no go suffer. I no go beg for bread. Me, I no go suffer. I no go beg. God of miracles, now my papa. Oh, God of miracles, now my papa. God of miracles, now my papa. Oh, 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 praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Those of you listening online, I want you to know that the word of the Lord that has been pronounced in this house is reaching you right where you are. Don't place any limits on God. And don't even think that you know how God is going to do what God does. Because God has something greater on His mind. Your circumstance must not dictate how you feel about what God is going to do. But right now, you must receive the word of God. And God is saying to you, God is saying to me, God is saying to us all as His people, I cannot be limited. Listen, the passage we read from tells us about Jesus even trying to go away privately. But Father had something else on His mind. You are going to fulfill your destiny. And so He led people on foot around the Galilee. They came from everywhere and they showed up where Jesus was going to land. Hey, surprise, surprise, when Jesus came out, there were the people He was trying to run away from. I am not going to be able to run away from anybody. You are not going to be able to run away from anybody. You cannot be hid. The blessings of God are upon our lives. Glory and Peace Church cannot be hid. The glory of God is upon this work. In the name of Jesus, the blessings upon you now. Receive it. Somebody shout, hallelujah. I cannot be hid. Amen. Amen.